relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Every president since Clinton inherited a basically a declining crime rate, and then it continued to decline until Trump came along, because Trump presided over the greatest crime rise in modern American history. The murder rate shot up 26% and mass shootings spiked. Hate crime spiked more than 20% during his presidency. Now, I don't want to lay the whole thing at his feet, but he did create 4 years normalizing crime.
He spent 4 years normalizing crime. They don't just lie. They lie to your face with the big lie. The bigger it is, the bolder they are. Joy Behar, you are a liar and a hack. I have in front of me something that's been sitting on my desk for a few days because I have to mention it sooner or later. So far, this year, there has been a 40% increase in the number of police officers murdered on duty. That is according to the Officer Down Memorial page. The media would have you believe that crime was normalized by a president who had the utmost respect for the police. I saw it with my own eyes. Whenever we landed, wherever we were, he would get off Air Force One, he would get out of the beast, and he would say thank you to the police. He fought to protect them and to fight those who wished to defund the police. They are now in control, and as a result, police officers and Americans are dying. That Puerto Rican couple, that savage video on Juneteenth, gunned down, their children now orphans. Why? Because some black American didn't like their Puerto Rican flag? David Dorn, a black retired police officer, a captain, gunned down. Why? Because he was trying to stop BLM and Antifa rioters. Okay, I'm going to calm down now because I'm going to give you evidence that America is waking up, that America has had enough. I heard this on a friend's radio show. It's from clearly someone like me, an immigrant to this country who came from the UK. We're going to tell you about what happened in Loudoun County last night, an incredible school board meeting, two arrests, but people prepared to push back, and they're going to be on the show with me. But this is from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Now, why is that interesting? I've been to Bucks County many, many, many times. I had a relative who lived there. It is a very she-she part of Pennsylvania. Very Tony, as they say. But even there, they've had enough. This is a former school board member who's a fighter. Cut one. Play cut.
I'm here to speak today. I believe, Gary, you said it was item KKK in the agenda book. Well, isn't that just a perfect, perfect summation of what it is I'm here to talk about? KKK, your proposed new school board policy, seeking once again to limit the constitutionally protected speech of American citizens. Now, when I sat on this school board, I believe some of you old-timers might remember this. A union guy spoke at public comment for 5 minutes and ripped me a new one. He called me the bastard child of Margaret Thatcher. And I sat there and I said to myself, okay, fair enough. Welcome to America. He considers me a bastard because I'm in the government. His logic is sound. Now, what happened was the superintendent and the school solicitor at the time freaked out and they didn't put the tape online the next day. And I called them up and I said, get the tape online now before we get sued for censorship. I yelled at the solicitor and I asked him what law school he went to, because it was clearly constitutionally protected rhetorical hyperbole. I can cite the case if you'd like. And I said to Paul Long, the superintendent at the time, don't ever cut the tape again, Paul. And by the way, bastard child of Margaret Thatcher, I took it as a compliment. Now, you snowflakes apparently have a bigger problem with public comment. It seems to me that you think you can supersede the United States Constitution. Well, I've got news for you, school board president Benito Mussolini. Your power does not supersede that of the U.S. Constitution and the First Amendment rights of the citizens of this great nation. Let's be very, very clear who has the power.
Mr.
It
Campbell,
is not government policy.
Do not warn me or interrupt my time. That if you
interrupt my time,
personal insults like that again, or if you personally direct your comments, you will
Let
be
me
asked
be very
to
clear.
Step away from
I'm,
the podium.
I'm going to
I am
quote
asking
to you,
to make your comments,
I'm
but
quoting
not...
That is how it is done. The Constitution supersedes everything. And where we are right now is a place where radical anti-American individuals who manage to march through the institutions to take over these school boards because they think that their ideology of bigotry, of hatred, of censorship overrides the basic law that is our Constitution. I don't know exactly why it is, but I have a very, very strong suspicion that it is a combination of the China virus resulting in our children being at home, being indoctrinated through video streams on Zoom calls with their Marxist teachers, that has led, along with the violence of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, to a collective awakening of this nation. It is stunning. Did you hear the cheers from the crowd in Bucks County? Not exactly deepest, you know, oil rig Texas. Bucks County. I am positive that the majority of people, that the county of Bucks County, voted for Hillary Clinton. But that was then, and this is now. And this is why we will win. Because there is a point at which it's no longer politics. There is a point at which it is about the truth about the future, about our children, about God and everything that is sacred upon which this nation was built. And at that point, it's not about the Democrat Party, it's not about the Republican Party, it's about free men versus dictators. And he's right to use that phrase, that name, that appellation, the little Benito Mussolini's, who, by the way, was a communist before he invented fascism based on the Roman imagery of the fasces. There is no difference between the two. There is no left and right extremism. There is socialism in different garbs. And they have tried to take over this country. But right now, they are trembling to the core of their existence. Because men like that, the guest you will hear later on this show, will not let them win. Will not let them pervert this nation into some vision of a socialist nightmare. America has had enough, and we're fighting, and we're ready to take back our republic, school board by school board if necessary. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Relief Factor, are you in daily pain? Have you tried everything else only to not find relief? Then just listen to Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Pain-free! Listen to those words. Find out for yourself why tens of thousands of Americans are taking Relief Factor every single day, me included. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? I tell you what, potential liberation from your pain. Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
I grew up singing that song, by the way, Rule Britannia. And as a little snotty-nosed kid in West London singing that song, do you know what line jumped out to me and forever embedded itself in my cranium? We never, never shall be slaves. That's the spirit of the British. And it is being celebrated today because of the anniversary of a certain seminal historic event. To tell us more about it, we have with us the director of the Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom from the Heritage Foundation, the conservative mothership, Niall Gardiner. Welcome to America First.
Thanks very much, Seb. It's great to be here again. Thank you.
So what is this anniversary we're celebrating today, the Heritage Foundation?
Yes, well, actually, it's the fifth anniversary of the 2016 Brexit referendum, that magnificent win for the Brexiteers over the forces of the EU, over the forces of socialism. And it was a great day, actually, for the British people, when the British people could basically declare their independence, their sovereignty from the European Union. So today we celebrated the fifth anniversary with a Brexit panel. Featuring some of the leaders of the Vote Leave campaign, and it was a great discussion. And let's face it, the world is a far better place with the British outside of the European Union, freed of the shackles of the EU, and the British people have reclaimed their freedom and their sovereignty. That's a truly great thing.
So it was the biggest assertion of people's sovereignty, with over 17 million Brits voting to leave that proto-socialist entity that is the European Union. However, Niall, for a while, it was touch and go. And I am shocked, as a former Brit who lived in the UK, born in the UK, to see that it wasn't just, you know, the lefties, it wasn't just the globalists, it was the House of Lords, it was the establishment, it was lawyers, billionaires, successful businessmen who tried for years to sabotage the people's will. It truly is an indication that populism has to be encouraged, because otherwise these unelected individuals will try to sabotage the people's will again and again and again. Do you concur?
Yeah, well, the Brexit victory was a great win for the British people over the establishment. After all, the political establishment at that time, headed by then Prime Minister David Cameron, opposed Brexit. You had to fight against the European Union establishment. You had to fight against Barack Obama and the international establishment. Plus, you had to fight against the media led by the BBC. And so the Brexit victory, and as you mentioned, 17.4 million Britons voted to leave the EU. This was an incredible win against all the odds. Hardly any opinion polls, for example, suggested that the Brexiteers could win. But they had the confidence and self-belief that they could win here. And it was a triumph for the British people over the ruling elites. It really was, a magnificent victory against all expectations, frankly. Although, I was in close communication with the Vote Leave campaign at the time ahead of the referendum. They were confident in themselves that they could win this based on their own internal polling. And as it turns out, they were absolutely right.
So we have to talk about what else is in the news with regards to our cousins across the Atlantic. Tell us what the reaction has been from the people in the UK, from the media, and from the Prime Minister and his team to this shocking news coming from the Black Sea, that the first time ever that Russian forces have fired live rounds against a British warship. What is the response? Are you reassured by what you're hearing out of 10 Downing Street? Because this is a true escalation.
Well, it is an escalation. And, we're seeing numerous reports from the UK on this particular episode where, this is an act of aggression, clearly. If all the events are fully confirmed, an act of aggression by the Russians against Great Britain. Why are the Russians acting against Britain? It's because Britain is now by far the strongest power in Europe, standing up to Putin and the Russians. And so the Russians are lashing out, and Brexit Britain is standing up to the Russian bear. In contrast, and the European Union is cowering before the Russians. The EU is in full appeasement mode. The Germans are supporting the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that the Russians are building. Of course, Joe Biden's backing the Germans over this. But the British are standing firm, which is why the Russians are trying to intimidate and threaten the United Kingdom. They're not going to succeed, clearly. But we have to be on our guard here. I mean, the Russians are getting very aggressive. And this further reinforces the need for Britain and our allies across the Atlantic to increase levels of defence spending. I think the British certainly are beefing up their military power significantly. We have two brand new aircraft carriers now in operation. Britain wants to return to being a global power in the Brexit era. And we have to be willing to stand up to our adversaries, both Russia and China.
What are you seeing in the rest of the European Union? We talked to Niall Gardner, director of the Thatcher Center for Freedom at the Heritage Foundation. Follow him at Niall Gardner on Twitter. What are you seeing? Is there a hope that there could be a Polish version of Brexit or an Italian one? When you see the Germans getting in bed with Russia, could we see a reassertion of national sovereignty by others inside the EU?
Yeah, and we're already seeing that. So when we're seeing that in countries in Eastern and Central Europe, especially Poland, we're seeing that in Hungary as well. I think that what you are seeing, within the European Union, the post-British EU, is the Eastern and Central European powers now standing up to Brussels. They've looked at the British example. they're not going to be bullied around or forced into kowtowing to European Union bureaucrats. And so I think you are seeing a significant split and division within the European Union. And in my view, I think that Brexit is just the beginning of fundamental changes that we will see across Europe in the coming decades. It's only a matter of time, I think, before another country in the EU exits. It may take some years. It may take 5-10 years for that to happen. But I do think it's a strong possibility that you will see further European countries leaving the European Union, because the EU is a supranational entity that tramples upon basic national sovereignty and freedom. You cannot be a free country and be part of the European Union.
And of course, it is so telling that after the Brits, who is a little bit different, the island nation, that it is countries like Poland and Hungary and others who lived under the boot of communism who understand that they want to be free again. We're talking to Niall Gardiner from the Heritage Foundation's Thatcher Centre for Freedom. Join the Heritage Foundation today. We'll be back with Niall momentarily. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you haven't done so already, support those that make this show possible and get a good night's sleep. He is the inventor of the MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. He's an amazing patriot. Support Mike Lindell. They're trying to cancel him. 25 corporations boycotting his products. Go straight to his website. Over 100 incredible products. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A to get up to 66% off MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com.
We were the first country to attempt and to succeed in rolling back the frontiers of socialism, which is the first cousin to communism. No one else tried it. We were the first to do it. I remember some politicians saying, "We're watching you very carefully, Mrs. Thatcher, to see if you succeed."
God bless her. Baroness Lady Thatcher, she understood, and along with Ronald Reagan and blessed Saint John Paul II, they defeated the socialism on the other side of the Iron Curtain. And sadly, it started to spread its wings in free countries like the UK and the United States. Gotta ask our friend who's the director of the Thatcher Center for Freedom at the Heritage Foundation. Join the Heritage Foundation today, heritage.org. Niall Gardiner, are you buoyed when you see the parents, the students, the teachers talking up at school board meetings, when you see more and more Americans that finally people are understanding, who otherwise apolitical, this connection between socialism and communism and now the internal threat? Where do you see things moving?
Well, a great interview there with Margaret Thatcher, talking about rolling back the frontiers of socialism. And Margaret Thatcher emphatically defeated socialism in Britain. Unfortunately, we're seeing socialism reappearing on the international stage, here in the United States, actually. We're seeing the American left adopting a lot of the principles of socialism. And we need to have that kind of Thatcherite, fervor to stand up to socialism here in the United States. And conservatives have got to stand up and be counted. They've got to take a stand against a vicious socialist ideology that will destroy freedom in America as we know it. The Brexit win in the UK was a huge blow as well to socialism in Europe. We need to see the defeat of socialism here in the United States. And we need to see, of course, conservatives standing up for and defending freedom of speech across the United States, not least, of course, on our university campuses, in our schools as well. And we need to combat the left's insidious, extremely dangerous far left wing agenda, which actually in many ways is being supported by the Biden administration. I mean, this is the most left wing U.S. administration, I think, in American history. And Biden is basically going along with what the far left wants. And so these are perilous times, I think, for the free world, especially for the United States. If the United States doesn't lead the free world based upon the principles of freedom and liberty, then we're going to lose the free world. That's for sure. And so it's up to the conservatives now to fight to restore freedom in America.
Wasn't there something, Niall, Trumpian about Margaret Thatcher? Because I look at where she came from. She wasn't a member of the elite. She was a grocery store owner's daughter. She wasn't a politician. She was a professional chemist working in private industry. Wasn't there something to that true citizen politician that we see echoes of in the 45th president? Can we make that fair comparison?
Well, Margaret Thatcher always used to say, you know, that in order to understand the British people, you had to listen to the beating heart of Middle England. And she was a politician who really understood the beating heart of the, you know, of the working British men and women. And she did not come from the political elites, as you pointed out. She was an outsider in every respect. She was a grocer's daughter. She worked in her father's grocer's shop. And she did not come from the kind of, you know, political elites that typically dominated the Conservative Party in those days. And she, you know, and she then set about demolishing, you know, the cohabitation between the political establishment of Britain with socialism, frankly. And she took an axe to socialism in the United Kingdom, always understanding her very humble roots, always looking back to her humble roots, and appealing, of course, to not only middle-class conservative voters, but also to large numbers of working-class, yes, blue-collar voters in the United Kingdom who wanted to own their own homes. They wanted to have lower taxes. They didn't like big government on their backs. And she appealed to those voters, actually. And many of them, of course, have stayed with the Conservatives. Many of them, of course, supported Brexit. But she really understood the concerns of ordinary British people. And yeah, that's a testament, I think, to Margaret Thatcher's tremendous, you know, courage, her leadership and her character and her understanding of the greatness of the British nation.
That just came to me, that comparison. I think it does exist. She may have been the Iron Lady, and we can, I think, refer to President Trump as the Iron Billionaire. He's Niall Gardiner. Follow him on Twitter right now. Happy Brexit anniversary to you. Join the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. It is the Conservative mothership fighting for those values upon which our republic was founded. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Vote Democrat. Don't be so bloody daft, man. I'd rather be dragged stark naked through a field of broken glass.
To reinstate or not to reinstate, is it even possible? Well, guess what? The Baron, Boris, my co-host of the podcast for The Battle for 1600, has been making the rounds, a lot of news, because he said, yeah, maybe we could reinstate the president if we find the evidence of massive fraud. We just recorded an interview with him where I challenge him on that exact concept. Here is the Baron's response.
Here's my perspective. The Constitution is a negative rights document. So in the Constitution, there are certain provisions, right, that lay out specific rules, specific processes. There's also a lot of prohibitions, right? The First Amendment is a prohibition against the government abridging the freedom of speech, abridging freedom of religion, against the establishment, so on and so forth, right? In being a negative rights document and having a 10th Amendment that reserves all rights not and powers all not enumerated to the states, the Constitution works in a way that if something is not mentioned in it and it's not been ruled upon by the Supreme Court, it's by definition possible, okay? For example, the Supreme Court says absolutely nothing about us doing a podcast together, right? Yet here we are, doing a podcast. The Supreme Court also, the Constitution and the Supreme Court also say absolutely nothing about, you know, the wedding cake case from Colorado, right? And the effectively the gay, you know, the gay marriage case that was so important, you know, to this, in the Supreme Court ruling in terms of gay marriage and its standing. The way the Constitution works is that it either lays something out, prohibits it, or leaves open the possibility. So in terms of reinstatement, to say that, well, the Constitution doesn't have a process for it, the Constitution doesn't allow for it, thereby it's impossible, is, in my belief, a misreading of the Constitution. Now, what am I saying, that the reinstatement is definitely going to happen? No, what I'm saying is that it's a mistake to say it's impossible. What I'm saying is that after the first step is we've got to get the receipts out of Arizona, out of Georgia, which is absolutely blowing up, out of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, all the places we know there was widespread election fraud. Let's get the information. The next step likely would be a decertification of the electors by a state like Arizona. Then I actually would think the Democrats would bring a suit and say, well, you cannot decertify. And at that point, there's going to be a legal case and it would go to the Supreme Court. That's one of several ways it could go. Point being is that there's no prohibition against reinstatement. Is it specifically laid out? Absolutely not. But there's no prohibition against it. Thereby, it has to be an open question. Thereby, it would be up to the Supreme Court to decide. And you know, that all we can say is, as the president says, President Trump says, we'll see what happens.
Okay, so here's my pushback as a layman, okay? But as a person who looks at the Constitution, understands the precedent of the last, you know, 200-odd years. Number one, yes, the Constitution is an enumeration of things that cannot be done by the government, okay? Absolutely, I understand that. But there is a common sense application of that. The Constitution may not say that a president cannot be reinstated, but that doesn't mean that it is possible, because the Constitution doesn't say that I cannot declare myself the Emperor of Mars. I can declare myself the Emperor of Mars, so what? I could say I'm a bowl of petunias. That's not forbidden by the Constitution. Doesn't mean I can become a bowl of petunias. In fact, it is impossible for me to become a bowl of petunias or the Emperor of Mars.
So, could you become a woman?
No. I can't become a woman, right? So the idea that just because it doesn't say it, therefore it's possible, I think there's a common sense moment where that kind of is challenged and breaks down. Secondly, if I look at the actual mechanisms, the Constitution is explicit that a president can only be removed from office through an impeachment, which requires the House and to bring charges by a simple majority, and then a two-thirds of a supermajority in the Senate to actually remove him off from office. So there is the question of the mechanisms. Okay, you decertify. Let's say four states decertify their votes. So what? That doesn't instantly create any electoral college magically out of thin air to have a retallying of the votes. There's no new safe harbor date for a second electoral college after the first one has been called. And then the last one is just a question of realpolitik in the current environment. If the Supreme Court are such a bunch of cowards, bar two people, and we know who they are, that they don't even hear the case that Texas brought with 16 or 17 other states with regard to the last election.
On original jurisdiction.
Original jurisdiction, which is absolutely unbelievable that they did that. The idea that the courts or the Supreme Court are somehow going to fall in line now and do something far, far more controversial than hearing a case on standing, but actually reinstating a president, I just don't buy it. Your response, Barron.
So on number three, I agree with you. I think that's a tall order. And I think specifically this Supreme Court, that's a tall order. That does not contradict my larger point, right? So number three, we tend to agree on. But my perspective is that it could get to the Supreme Court. And my point is that it is not explicitly unconstitutional. It will be up to the Supreme Court to decide. So that's number three, right? In terms of your second point, where it does lay out a process, yes, it does lay out a process, and there is a process for impeachment. Now, it actually doesn't say it's the only process. There is a process for impeachment in there. And the bigger question really then becomes this, right? If there is incontrovertible evidence of fraud, of very specific, overwhelming fraud through which Joe Biden became president, can there really not be a way to cure that? I'm not so sure. And my point.
But describe it. Describe as a lawyer. Describe what that mechanism would be.
Here's the potential lawsuit. The potential lawsuit would be this: Democrats sue against. Democrats would sue against decertification. Say the state of Arizona is decertifying, and the say it's the state Senate. Right. The reply would be, okay, we're going to decertify, and then the state legislators. And again, this is my perspective here. Right. But one plausible way would be for the state legislatures to say, we now call on the House to retaliate electoral votes based on what the actual certification after the fraud's been uncovered has been.
And who controls the House?
It would go to the original rules, right? So it would go to the rules where it goes by delegation. It would be the same as if it would happen on the 20th, right, or January 15th or January 6th. When it was originally counted, by delegation, Republicans control the House. Now, this is such an unprecedented time. Who knows how anybody would vote? But that's a political question. We are now way beyond the line where I was, which is saying that to position it as this can never happen, it is absolutely impossible, in my view, is incorrect. Is it likely? I'm not necessarily saying that. Is it going to happen? Who knows the future?
It was a great episode. Listen to all of it. The battle for 1600 with the Baron. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Your call's next. But please tell me you're not calling from a cell phone that's linked to the big providers. Go with Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone company. Amazing discounts right now. Make the switch. You can keep your old phone. 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment and free premier activation either way. Join today. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. PatriotMobile.com/Gorka. I were there. That was the meeting of the Loudoun County School Board last night, where two patriots were arrested when they tried to shut down the debate. What did they do? They sang. They sang our anthem. God bless them. We're going to have two of those brave people here with us on the next hour of America First, as well as Dr. Peter McCullough, who is a truth teller on COVID. You don't want to miss a millisecond. To make sure you never miss anything, subscribe today to our Rumble video channel, where we stream the show and post the segments after the radio broadcast. It's rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Never miss a thing. Share the links. Share the truth. rumble.com/SEBGORKA. Let's go to Mark, who's been waiting very patiently in New Jersey. Mark, welcome to America First.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka, and congratulations to our British cousins for declaring their freedom, and to the parents of our country for pushing back at school board meetings of this critical race theory, which is child abuse.
Yes.
But my point is this. Speaking of crime, as Mr. Biden's going to address, crime that's out of control in every Democrat city, a 31-year-old female graduate student of criminology was just stabbed to death in Chicago, where police are not allowed to chase criminals, courtesy of Ms. Lightfoot, Lori Lightfoot's defund the police policy. And Biden and Harris have failed, sir, They have failed in their primary duty of protecting the people of our country by knowingly letting in and deliberately allowing criminals, drug dealers, and deadly fentanyl drugs to come over our border, over the Mexican border, unchecked, and killing innocent Americans and hurting them.
Not only that, Mark, why should anybody be surprised? We're talking about an individual in the personage of the current vice president who helped fundraise for the violent radicals of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They have no respect. You are just a number. You're just a taxpayer. And if you are a Republican, you are the enemy to these people. And yes, you are right, Mark. They are endangering all of us. But we will not let them get away with it. Next, two of the patriots from the Loudoun County School Board meeting and Dr. Peter McCullough here on America First.